Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We need your help.
This place is magical. Like, it truly is.
The Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, it just represents hope. And it just represents everyone that walks through those doors feels like they have a home here.
Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift. Now back to the Greg Hill Show and the 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
If you want to give, you could call 877-738-1234, or you can text KCANCER to 20222. It is day number one of the 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. We're coming to you from Fenway Park this morning. And so far this morning, you have donated $128,043.
Awesome.
And we're 3 hours in to 2 days of radio telethoning. So thank you so much for giving so far this morning. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by the mayor. Mayor Walsh will be here. And also we're going to get a rare content replay on the Tom Brady interview from earlier this morning. And we'll do that before the show ends. But right now we are joined by Caitlin Vu and Dr. O'Neill to share their story about Dana-Farber. And Caitlin, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I see you're about to be a freshman in high school?
Yes, actually, yeah. I'm going into high school this September.
Where are you going?
North Quincy High School.
All right. Are you nervous?
Nervous would be a word to, yeah.
A word to describe it?
Yeah.
A word to describe it. I think one of the things that I have learned over the last couple of weeks is about oftentimes about how incredible the relationship becomes between the patient and the doctor at Dana-Farber.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to maybe tell everybody who is thinking about giving or has given a little bit about that relationship with you and Dr. O'Neill.
Yeah, well, Dr. O'Neill is such a great doctor, and I'm so lucky to have such a great team at the Jimmy Fund. Great doctors, nurses that are so passionate and dedicated to what they do. They go into work every day intending to make a child's day brighter, and that's just so special, and that I see that quality in every single person that I meet at the Jimmy Fund, and I've never met someone that didn't want to help me. Yeah.
And Doc, I mean, you have this incredible opportunity to interact with these patients, and for you, what is it about this that got you wanting to do this?
I think these patients, Caitlin in particular, are so unbelievably special. When you think about what inspires you in life, I mean, I walk into that clinic every day, into the Jimmy Fund clinic, and it's the definition of inspiration. I mean, I'm sitting next to somebody who has taken every piece of information regarding her diagnosis and her treatment in such stride and with such poise and grace. Every decision she's made, and she's been a big part of the decision making, is really exceptional for a person her age, and I think inspires me every day, not only to be a better clinician, but to be a fortuitous researcher to try and advance the field.
And I think also your story, you know, I think can be educational for some of us, because you were just playing soccer.
Yeah.
and your ankle ended up being swollen, and
yeah,
you figured that you had just twisted your ankle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
so I actually found out about my diagnosis, like you said, playing soccer, and at first I didn't think much of it because obviously soccer players get injured all the time. And I thought it was either a swollen ankle or worse, maybe like a fracture. So after weeks of like on and off swelling, I got it checked out. And we went through scans at Children's Hospital. And they eventually were like, okay, there's something abnormal about this. This isn't normal. And what they discovered was a solid bone tumor in my left ankle and osteosarcoma. So, yeah.
And, Doc, I mean, I think for people listening that's something that, you know, is to think about is that, you know, if something isn't right, you should check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think kids and their families, they know what the norm is best. Yeah. So I think you recognize right away that maybe your injury was different than usual. And having come to medical attention quickly when something was wrong, you guys did everything right. You know, you got started on treatment at just the right time and you proceeded through everything so beautifully.
And I read that you felt like the doctors and the nurses and everybody at Dana-Farber had kind of given you the confidence that you needed to fight this. Can you put that into your own words for us?
So when I first found out about cancer, you know, cancer is like a really big six-letter word that's so scary. It totally like turned my world upside down. I was like a regular kid in school. I like to think that I got good grades, had a lot of friends, and everything was going great for me. My eighth grade year was plowing forward. But when I found out about my diagnosis, I started to worry about kind of how, like, people would see me, and especially after my surgery, like, not everyone understands, like, losing a foot. So definitely the people at the Jimmy Fund Clinic, they were so supportive and kind of making me feel as if I wasn't alone in my fight for cancer, and that's a big part because aside from being physically well, and them trying to improve my health, it was also improving my mental state and kind of supporting me throughout my journey.
Well, we see you as incredible. You're advanced beyond your years, I think.
Thank you.
I'm not sure that I would have the same courage. So we really admire it.
Thank you.
We really admire it. When it comes to Dana-Farber, Doc, there's always a need for the dollars that are being donated, and you guys are every day trying to figure new ways to treat and new ways to research.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm the clinical director of the Pediatric Solid Tumor Program, and we see a breadth of diagnoses, many of which are extraordinarily challenging to treat and to cure. And cure is, of course, always our goal. But when I look back to where we were decades ago and compare it to now, and I look at the technological and research advances we've made, because we're so unbelievably lucky and resourced, we have a clinician that specializes in each and every solid tumor diagnosis. We have a corresponding physician in the laboratory or a PhD in the laboratory doing research on each and every disease. And those two pair together to really create advances in the field, and we can't do that without adequate funding. And we are making exceptional progress, but there's so much more to learn.
Yeah. I think that's what's most interesting to me is that the progress comes in kind of small steps. And I think that, you know, we're all waiting for that moment that there is a cure. But, you know, we were talking earlier about the fact that really, in many cases, it's extending the treatment period and being able to extend that for a longer period of time. That's a victory in itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think we're on the horizon of pretty exceptional advances in cancer therapy. Between genomic profiling of disease, immunotherapy, there are so many advances on the horizon, but there's so much more research to be done within those realms. And that's why we absolutely need the support, because we're curing more and more children, more and more individuals with cancer than we ever have before.
Caitlin, how many days of summer vacation do you have left?
I don't know. I haven't been counting. That's right. A good question.
All right. Well, I hope you get the most out of them.
Thank you.
And I thank you very much for coming here and telling your story.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you want to give, you could call 877-738-1234, or you can text KCANCER to 20222. That's 20222. 222.
And I also want to remind people that we're trying to recruit 50 new monthly donors to join Dimmy's Team Monthly Giving Program. That's monthly support that helps Dana-Farber plan for the future while also sustaining that innovative cancer research and patient care that they are so known for. So again, you can call 877-738-1234 or go online to jimmyfund.org and set up your monthly donation. This way, you don't even have to think about it. You can make a recurring donation, and you know that those dollars are going to go to kids like Caitlin and people that really need to do that research and get this new information.
And we want to get to 50 monthly donors by the end of the show at 10.
Yes,
right?
By the end of the show. Right. So a little less than 45 minutes left.
Okay, 877-738-1234. During the 17 years of this event, over $50 million has been donated by you to the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber. And so continue that tradition. Give what you can. And joining us now, Charles Benoit and Dr. David Reardon. Dr. Reardon is the clinical director of the Center for Neuro-Oncology at Dana-Farber. Guys, thanks for being here today.
Good morning. We're happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for telling your story. We were just talking about the importance of the patient-doctor relationship, and Dana-Farber seems to do that better than anywhere else, Charles.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Dr. Reardon and I have been close friends now for 8 years. I was actually roughly his third patient after he joined the Dana-Farber team, and I'm blessed to have him as one of my doctors and one of my teammates to help me through my glioblastoma, my brain tumor.
What is it about Dana-Farber that we've heard from a lot of amazing patients about kind of the unique experience that it is? From your perspective, what is it that makes Dana-Farber different?
It's a family and a team. It's not any one person. I had several nurses. I had the staff, the clinicians, the MRI technicians, the radiation technicians, all of the physicians that are a part of my team, my wellness team, as I refer to it. They all work together and talk constantly with each other about my case, as I'm sure they do with every patient. But when I'm there and in the room with Dr. Reardon and one of my nurses, I feel like I'm their only patient. That's how they treat you, is you're their only patient that they want, you know, and they want the best for you.
And I had heard about you that when you got your diagnosis, you were in the middle of a career change.
Yes, exactly.
And you wanted to be a high school teacher.
I had just accepted a position with, changing my careers from pharmaceutical industry into teaching, and was diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma.
But you're teaching now.
No, I haven't. Okay. I haven't been able to teach for a few years. Some late effects of the treatments. I was on chemo for 6.5 years, and it's kind of played a toll on me. But I'm doing what I can to help, and I actually work now as a mentor for newly diagnosed glioblastoma patients.
Doctor, we've heard a lot about Dana-Farber and the advancements that are made because of the research that is done there. Could you talk to us a little bit about that this morning?
Sure. Charlie and I actually, we're veterans to the telethon. We were here 7 years ago together. And Charlie has a diagnosis of glioblastoma, one of the most difficult of all cancers to try to treat. And the fact that he's here today and doing so well, I think, is a testimony to that research. Charlie was on one of our clinical trials with an investigational agent that I think really made the difference for him, along with our team of outstanding neurosurgeons, radiation therapists, our oncology team, our nurses who pay exquisite attention, and got him through all of that in great shape and great form. The research like that trial, I think, is improving outcome for a growing percentage of patients. We still have a lot of room for improvement, but I'm blessed every day to go to work with such a great team of people, world-class, outstanding experts with great experience and expertise. And by funneling all of that together into an effort, we're little by little making progress in these tough-to-treat tumors.
And Charlie, I imagine when you get that diagnosis and you're going to Dana-Farber for the first time or going to any hospital for the first time, you're scared, you're nervous, there's a lot of anxiety. Walking into Dana-Farber and going back to Dana-Farber, is some of that relieved?
These days, definitely. I mean, very quickly, it became my second home. I was there so often. I was there weekly, every other week, monthly. Up until recently, I was there every 8 weeks for MRIs. And so it's my second home, and I know, you know, the route that I drive. I know exactly where I need to go. I know exactly how long it'll take me.
Yeah, which is 4 hours here in the city of Boston. Currently.
Exactly.
Yes.
I almost didn't make it to the interview today because of the traffic.
We're going to address that directly with the mayor when he joins us in about 10 or 15 minutes.
But great, thank you.
Well, listen, I'm really happy that you came by this morning to share your experience. I think. There are so many, when it comes to giving in this city, there are so many amazing organizations that we can give to. I wonder if you might leave us with just a thought about why give to Dana-Farber for those who are thinking about where to give their dollars.
Well, what I would say is that Dana-Farber and the research that they are doing and the advocates that they have for the patients are the best in the world, and the money goes to the research and goes to finding a cure for all types of cancers, not just mine. It's spread across the boards, and that's the end goal that we're looking to do, is to find a cure for cancer, and in the short term maybe make it more like a chronic disease. I mean, glioblastoma is one of the most lethal cancers out there. 8 years later, I'm still doing fine, and I try and emphasize that that's a possibility for other people newly diagnosed. But that's Dana-Farber, that's their goal as well, is to have more people like me.
Well, that's what we want, too. All right, guys. Thank you very much for coming this morning and sharing your stories.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. 877-738-1234 is the number to call and to give. Or you can text KCANCER to 20222. The WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon continues with Mayor Walsh next. It's brought to you by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Please help us strike out cancer.
Please help WEEI and Nesson strike out cancer. Please call 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now back to the Greg Hill Show and the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Is the number to call if you'd like to give, or you can text KCANCER to 20222. That's 20222, and that's a $25 donation. As we approach the end of the show this morning, you have donated over $150,000 so far.
Wow. Nice.
Nice work. $150,334 at this moment. But the giving continues all day long today. And we'll be right back here at Fenway tomorrow morning with day number two. Speaking of being at Fenway, apparently the mayor of the city of Boston needs some kind of a Doug Mirabelli escort over here or something because he's
running, en route. Yeah, actually, Mutt's giving him a ride, which is a little dangerous.
Okay.
Is it a pedicab?
Mayor Walsh running a little bit behind. We're going to get a rare content replay on this morning's Tom Brady interview, at least as much of it as we can squeeze in before the mayor gets here. But Danielle, we want to thank a donor.
Yes, we do. James Bampos, who's a Dana-Farber patient, donated $1,000 this morning toward that amazing $150,000 number for the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. So thank you, James, for that very generous donation.
Yeah, awesome. And we're trying to get to 50 monthly donors by the end of the show this morning.
That's correct. Yeah, by 10 o'clock, we want 50 new monthly donors, and it's super simple. You can just go to jimmyfund.org, sign up right there, or you can call 877-738-1234. They'll be happy to set it up for you on the phone. And this way, every month, you don't even have to think about it. Any amount of your choosing goes directly to the Jimmy Fund, and you're going to be set up to help them get those research dollars to Dana-Farber and start really making some serious progress on these cases.
And heaven forbid we fall a little short. Curtis, could you call your dad and have him maybe take care of the rest?
I already got a text. He's flying in from London today, so tomorrow morning he's got the big donation coming away.
Perfect. Get him down.
We're good. Yeah, that was a big thing on the old show. We got to get the credit during this program.
Yes.
So
we'll get that. Thank you.
We'll do that this morning.
And I think he's a little behind in paying the cell phone bill, isn't he?
This better not detract from my cell phone payment or my car payment. So hopefully those both are still intact.
Your dad's ruining your credit.
Oh, my God. Get to it.
You might have to shop like the rest of us at Shaw's or Stoppie's for the next couple weeks.
Those are great places.
Thank you.
Well, as he will do every week during the NFL season, Tom Brady joined us earlier this morning, and here is a rare content replay on some of that. Morning, Tom Brady.
Hi, Greg. Good morning. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing great. We're here at Fenway for this amazing event, and I know that you've had the opportunity in the past to be a part of this, and I thank you for calling in this morning. And I think one of the we were talking earlier about Boston and the uniqueness of the community when it comes to charitable giving. And I think that the same is true when it comes to our athletes. I know that that you're somebody, and your teammates have always been guys who make the effort to go and visit those who are fighting not only cancer but other things. And it's really kind of a unique thing, I think, in this city.
Yeah, it's been pretty great over the years. You know, ever since I got here, I think being a part of, you know, a winning football team, but also being a part of a community that, you know, really gives back and, you know, tries to do things in the community to make it a better place. Our team has always really rallied around those things. I can think of so many great examples of guys who have spent, you know, all their off days over the course of the season, either building schools or, you know, visiting hospitals or, you know, trying to make someone's day. So this is a really cool thing that WEEI has done for a long time, and being a part of this, you know, really special day is something pretty cool. So hopefully you guys can raise a lot of money. That's always the goal of these things. And, you know, it goes to a lot of people who really need the help.
I think Dana-Farber also does amazing work with families. And that's something that you can speak to a little bit, Tom, is how difficult it is when a family member is fighting cancer.
Absolutely, and I think all of us are affected in one way or another through our families or through friends or close relationships with people who, you know, are fighting, you know, a really tough daily battle. And, you know, I know in our family it's not just my mom, obviously, who everyone kind of knows about, and she's doing great now, but it's, you know, it's something that she lives with as a, you know, as a cancer survivor, and, you know, my uncle, the same thing. So it's definitely touched our lives, and I'm very cognizant of, you know, how fragile, you know, it is. You know, you kind of live month to month or sometimes week to week or day to day. It's a very challenging thing that families face. And, you know, hopefully the money raised can go to provide, you know, support for families in need.
Well, over the 17-year history of this event, over $50 million has been donated to the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. It's something that I think is unique when it comes to this city, and I certainly thank you for joining us this morning and for encouraging everybody to donate. I will say that I'm over the last 24 hours, I've been a little worried about you, Tom.
Explain. You shouldn't. I don't think anyone should ever worry about Tom Brady, so you certainly shouldn't. I wouldn't waste your time.
Well, I feel like you may be comfort eating. Like I feel like the stress of, well, I don't know if it's the stress of the off season, the contract or whatever, but
Tell me.
Well, I mean, we see this report that you sat down and devoured like a large meat eater's pizza in Nashville. Do you need to eat?
I'm not much of an emotional eater, and it was nice. I kind of eat for try to keep my performance good. So I actually did have a great time. We had a good week in Nashville. That did look like one of your meals, though, Hillman. Seeing kind of what I was devouring down there in Nashville.
Yeah. Tom, Greg has actually switched to the cauliflower crust now.
Has he really?
No. No.
That's good. Get your vegetables in while you can. And a little. I think you can kind of hit all the food groups. If you have a little meat, if you have some vegetables and some grains, that would be pretty good.
Who paid? That's what, when in a scenario like that, I always wonder who picks up the check.
I kind of always pay for everything. That's kind of the way it works in my friends and family. So I take care of everything. It was great. My friend owns the pizza house, and he's got quite a few of them around the South. And he's been a good friend of mine from Boston for a long time. And just wanted to stop in and see him, and brought a few guys with me. So we had a great time.
Were you surprised that you didn't end up playing on Saturday night?
You know, like I said last week, I mean, I prepare to play, and then whatever coach decides, he decides. So, that's what he chose, and, you know, you just roll with it. So I played a lot of football over the years and feel like I'm in a good place. This time of camp, I've obviously got work to do. We still have, I guess, how many weeks? 2.5 weeks before the season starts, and there's still a lot of practice that needs to happen, and we're going into practice today. It's been pretty hot, and we're getting a lot of good work in, so when my number's called, I'll be ready.
Well, that is a portion of what Tom Brady had to say. We don't have time for the rest of it. Well, it's up at WEEI.com,
yep,
Curtis.
WEEI.com, right there for you to listen to.
They'll be unhappy that there was like 2 minutes of pizza talk with Tom Brady this morning. They're not going to like that.
Dale is throwing things in the other room. He's livid.
He's throwing pizza.
All right. We're coming to you from Fenway Park, the 18th annual Nesson WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Call 877-738-1234 to give. The mayor of the city of Boston, Marty Walsh, will join us next. It's all brought to you by Arbella Insurance Foundation.
Later today, Gary Tangway returns to WEEI.
But I wanted to share some personal news of my own with you. That I've been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I'm under great care at Brigham and Women's and also Dana-Farber. And my cancer is treatable. So I consider myself to be very, very lucky.
Tune into Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier this afternoon at 3 as Gary Tangway joins the show to talk about his battle with cancer. This is the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, it's Alex Cora. The WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon has now helped raise over $50 million for Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund, thanks to listeners like you. Please help us reach our ultimate goal of striking out cancer in kids. To make a gift, please visit WEEI.com/Jimmy Fund.
Well, we're back at Fenway Park. You can call 877-738-1234 to donate for this year's WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. And finally, the mayor of the city of Boston has arrived on the scene this morning. How are you, Mr. Mayor?
I'm doing good. I was outside talking to some of some cancer patients that were catching up about some kids are going through their treatment, and I've gone through the treatment, so we were kind of comparing notes to what it was like and all the side effects and all the bad stuff that comes with treatment.
It's truly amazing what they do at Dana-Farber. I mean, our city, we're lucky. We have the greatest medical institutions in the world. People travel all over, and I think sometimes, you know, we're not always thinking about how fortunate we are to have Dana-Farber and others here in our city.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, my family's experience in 1974 when I was diagnosed with cancer, and being treated at the Jimmy Fund, it's amazing, and I'm here because of the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber and the Children's Hospital and also the prayers. But people come from all over the world to Dana-Farber to be treated. And the thing that when you see it, you see like adults there, obviously, but when you see the babies and the kids there, and you go up to that unit where the little ones are up there. I was in town last Friday, and I was asked to come over to a little birthday party for an 8-year-old boy who has cancer. They're from Florida. They're coming up here. He gets treated up here. He has a brain tumor, and I just happened to go into the party, and I was asked to go over there. And you see the parents and the pain and the agony in their face, but the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber just tries to make it normal for people, tries to wrap around services for the family and treatment and all the support has come so far since 1974. Really, it's been amazing.
And we're here at Fenway. I feel like you follow the team.
I do.
We're not going to have the services of Chris Sale for 6 weeks.
Yeah, Chris Sale's his arm's out, and you know they're playing great baseball right now. I think they've won 7 of the last 8 games. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that, and also we're just making sure that fans, when they come into the game, they're not dipping. And you know, there's a rumor that there's a guy that's in this room that dips a little bit. By the way, clean your chin a little bit. There's something on the side.
You know, I feel like we had you. You know,
Mayor.
I feel like on the old show, I berated you about the ridiculous legislation that bans dip at Fenway Park.
Now you support it.
And
what are you, a politician?
Well,
you were against it before you were for it?
And I'd like to know if there's a single ticket that has ever been issued to a ball player that is dipping here at Fenway Park. Has anything come about because of that?
I truly appreciate you bringing this up, because now every single news outlet in the country is going to be chasing me around for the rest of the day asking how many tickets we've given out for this.
So you brought it up.
I just want to thank you. You know, while we're here on the Jimmy Fund Telethon for cancer, I want to thank you. I brought it up. I know I did.
You did bring it up. By the way, last night I got to see the marathon memorials lit up.
Incredible.
Last night. What an amazing tribute.
Yeah, we were in town last night, and we did it quietly. There was a little coverage of it, obviously, but the Richard family and the Lou family, Lindsay's mom and dad came from China. Crystal Campbell's mom was there. Martin Rich's mom and dad were there. Dennis Simmons's mom and dad were there. And Sean Collier's dad was there. Stepdad was there. And really emotional. It's beautiful memorial in their memory. But it was bittersweet. Like, what do you say in a matter like that? They will be forever memorialized on Boylston Street now. And as I said to the family last night, I just said, you know, thank you. I thank them for letting us into their life. Because they really have opened their arms to us and allowed us to be in their life. And that day and the days that followed were horrific days for those families, for all of Boston and for all the survivors, but in particular for those families and survivors that went through so much that day. So I just thank them for allowing us to be in their life.
It's one of those things, I don't know about you, but I can't go to the marathon, which is one of the great days in our city, without thinking about it, and I don't think I ever will be able to.
No, you're right, and I think about it as well when I'm there. I'm at the finish line waiting for the runners to come in, and you see the elite runners coming in. The race, I guess, is about elite runners, so that's ultimately what the race is designed for. But then you know, 20 minutes, a half hour later, seeing the runners run through, whether they're running for a foundation or running for a cause, or you see people that have prosthetics, and you see people. It's just amazing to see. It's such, and I know you're down the other end,
yeah.
And I don't never make it down to you because I want to be at the finish line to see people cross the line.
Yeah.
And
well, the governor makes it to my party.
Yeah, the governor does, but he has more time to kind of float around. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't have that time to float. I got to be focused.
Whole state more time, Boston less time.
Yeah. But it's it is it's amazing. And you're right. You know, the day of the marathon, I was being interviewed. I was running for mayor, and I was being interviewed, or going to be interviewed, and it's one of those days. Like, where were you? We know exactly where we were. September 11th. I know exactly where I was when I heard about the planes. But it is about resiliency. Like what we're talking about today with the cancer, it's resilient. And people might not understand the strength they have inside of them, but they can overcome it. And they do, and some they struggle, but it's just amazing.
I want to ask you about Sean McDonough, who does some games for us here when it comes to the Sox. He is infuriated with the traffic situation in our city. He blames Uber. I wanted to know where you stand kind of on the traffic thing after the recent traffic study that the governor commissioned.
I think the traffic issue is compounded. I think it's more jobs in Boston. I think, you know, in the last 5 years we've added 120,000 jobs. It is more people living in Boston, 50,000 people, more people living in Massachusetts. Boston is such an attractive city. People want to be here. I think Uber is adding to it in the sense of last year there was 41 million Uber trips around the city of Boston.
41 million?
41 million.
Oh, my God.
In the city of Boston.
Were they all going to the seaport?
Probably.
Yeah. You have that. You have, you know, not to dump on the MBTA, but you have an MBTA that doesn't have a lot of faith by people right now. There is investments being made, short and long term, and it's kind of a perfect storm. We have a system that's 100 years old that probably needs almost a whole overhaul, and quite honestly, over the last bunch of administrations, hasn't been addressed right in the state. I talked to the governor this morning about it. You know, he's putting $8 billion into the infrastructure, and he's also doing some other things. So all of that's kind of a perfect storm. And if you just look at Boston, so right now in Boston, we have 700,000 people living here. We have 120,000 new jobs of all the jobs that happen. September, after Labor Day comes around, we get another influx of 300,000 kids. So we will be a city of almost 1 million people living in the city of Boston. We will have another 1 million people coming in every day to go to work and tour, and we're 47 square miles. So when you think about that, that's a lot of people for an area, and we're a popular destination point. So it's kind of like, and a lot of millions and millions of tourists, both internationally and local and domestically, come here every year. So it really is. It's one of those things that I think that over the course of the next few years, when the infrastructure improvements of the T starts happening, we're doing more dedicated bus lanes in the city of Boston. That's important. And not everyone likes bikes, and not everyone likes cars, but we need more dedicated bike lanes. More and more people are taking bikes to work. More and more people are walking. In the past, we weren't necessarily a walking city. If you went to New York, you'd walk all over the place.
Yeah.
Here, you take a car, if going from Fenway Park to wherever. In New York, you're walking.
Right.
So I just think I think we're going to start to see that shift.
Are you still hot on the gondola idea?
No, I think that idea is kind of gone. The gondola is gone.
The gondola, no gondola to the seaport.
No, but I think you know, we're looking at how do we maybe look at some bike bus lanes down there and things like that. And we have a bridge that was shut down in 97. We had to shut it down to pedestrians in 2014, and we're in the process now of designing Northern Ave Bridge. So we're going to be rebuilding that at some point in the next couple of years. That's another sticking point. We have many bridges in Boston and Massachusetts that need to be redone.
Would you be a fan of the, you know, the governor is a proponent of these like so-called one percenter lanes where you would pay more to drive in a lane by yourself essentially?
I think that we're gonna have to have a real serious conversation around tolls. I mean, that ultimately it's tolls, and but I think that what I want to make sure, if we did something like that, or if something like that was to come to Massachusetts or Boston, the money is all directed right back to transportation. Yeah. So people feel that you're paying for, you don't want to pay for driving, but if you are paying for driving, you see a result of that. It has to be dedicated towards transportation.
I want to ask, everybody will say that I suck up to you if I don't ask you a tough question.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You know that. I want to ask you about the conspiracy conviction of your two former aides.
Yeah.
You feel like those guys will be vindicated on appeal?
I mean, we'll see as the time moves on. You know, it was a tough week a couple weeks ago. It's still tough. I mean, you know, Tim has two kids, two babies, and Kenny is his life was his job. You know, amazing events coming to Boston. In his shop, what he did in his shop, we'll see as time moves on. As time moves on here, but it was, you know, I feel, you know, I was very disappointed in what happened 2 weeks ago.
Do you feel like the intent was to do the right thing on the part of those guys in the administration?
We've had hundreds and hundreds of events in City Hall Plaza, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of events in the city. We haven't heard any complaints at all.
How's your relationship with the governor?
I just talked to him on the phone about 10 minutes ago.
So it's good?
I think so.
And what about, have you endorsed Joe Biden? I haven't done
the presidential race yet.
Okay. I mean, are you getting pressure from Elizabeth Warren? I mean, I'm sure
I've met a lot of the candidates. A lot of them, if they come to Boston, they swung by the office and talked to them. So, and there's still plenty of time. I just hope that, I wish the field would narrow down a bit on the Democratic side. 20 candidates is too many candidates.
20? I think there's 70.
There might be 70. Yeah, there's 20 that make the stage. There's another 20 that don't.
Bill Belichick is actually doing a cutdown in a couple of days.
That'd be great if you just, you know, sorry, Marianne Williamson, we don't have any room for sorcerers this year. So it is what it is.
You going to get to some Pats games this
year? Yeah, I'm excited about it.
You're still a season ticket holder, right?
Ticket holder, yeah. I got my ticket the other day. I got my flag, the number 6 flag.
You going to go to Banner Night?
I'm going to go, absolutely.
Yeah, got it, right?
I have to go to that. And I'm pumped about that. I'm pretty excited, and you know, the team looks good. I mean, there's, I mean, Belichick just knows how to put it together. The depth is amazing. Brady looks amazing. Edelman's back. Josh Gordon. I hope, you know, I pray for that guy. I mean, what a talent he is. And
you're somebody who struggled with that.
Yeah, I mean, alcohol's tough. And this guy here, I mean, watched him play last year, and he was just amazing. And when I got the, I think it was the alert that he is. You know, got cut. I felt terrible.
Yeah.
Let me just say one last thing. People listening on the radio today for the telethon, please donate. You might not know what the Jimmy Fund does, but if you ever have a family member that has cancer, you will know quickly. And every bit of dollar raise helps with studying the disease of cancer and the genes, and there's so many different versions of it today. So I'd love anyone that can help to hit this goal and Shadow Lash's goal. Greg really needs it.
I really appreciate your support. I thank you for your support of the old show, even though you made a promise to us that you didn't honor to be on every month.
I'll make that same promise, yeah.
Dan, what's the guy's name? Dan, whatever, stole my Wednesdays with Walsh idea.
Oh, Dan Wright.
Yeah, he did.
That idea, and you participated in that. I'm still upset about
we'll
that.
Yeah, we'll work something out.
All right, we'll have you on the new show.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thank you for being here. Want to thank everybody as we head out who made this possible. There's way too many people at the radio station to mention right now, but it's been something that everybody has worked on for the entire year. And so as we go, I just want to remind you that you can give when you call 877-738-1234. That's 877-738-1234. We continue all day from Fenway Park with patients and doctors and nurses and special guests. It's the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Thank you for giving this morning. It has all been presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Coming up next, Brock Holt, Matt Grislick, and Xander Bogaerts joins Dale and Keefe. You're listening to the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.